Welcome to episode 596 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and Anna. Edinburgh is one of those cities that feels like it was built for storytelling. And it's Edinburgh, not Edinburgh, just so you know. With cobbled lanes, dramatic castle views, cozy pubs, and a skyline that looks straight out of a novel. In this episode, we're giving you a big picture guide of Edinburgh with a special lens on visiting outside of the peak of summer. Elizabeth was there in late January and Sandy visited in late March, so we'll compare what the city feels like across the quiet season, what's genuinely better in the off season, and what you'll want to plan around, weather, daylight, and the little logistics that can make your trip feel absolutely effortless. So let's get started. So, why does Edinburgh belong on your list?
I believe that this most recent trip to Edinburgh for me, which is my third, made it my favorite city over London. Don't tell London I said that.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going back to London in July, so maybe London will win my heart back again. But as of this moment, Edinburgh is my favorite city. So you should go no matter what.
Need to go back because I only spent 3 nights there. So it was a really short trip. I know. There's so much more I need to see. So
you know, that I think that is actually the marker of a really great visit is when you go for a visit and you're like, you know what? I have to go back because, you know, there's so many things I missed.
Yeah. And you can't stop going back. This is one of those cities for me, too, that you just keep going back to.
I just feel like, I mean, the people are so friendly. The city is so walkable. It's possible to get all around the city without too many hills. That's not to say there aren't hills. There absolutely are.
I found it to be very hilly and very steppy, like lots of steps.
Yeah.
I did, but it could have just been your favorite part.
I've walked in. Yeah, definitely in Old Town, it is a little bit hillier for sure. And I mean, that's the part of the whole thing that the city was built in a way that the water runoff would go down to the lake so that it, you know, it would not be gross in the city. So maybe that's not a fair assessment. And it's got all the things that you want in an old city. Like it's got the history, the drama, the food, the whiskey, like all of the things.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, so you were in heaven.
I was. I mean, it's like my kind of town. Chicago was his kind of town, but Edinburgh is my kind of town.
I did not have a bad meal the whole time I was there. All of it was fantastic.
So, I've heard that actually that Edinburgh has become quite a foodie city.
I believe it.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And I went to a Michelin starred restaurant for one night. I like to do that, especially when I'm by myself. And I mean, it would totally lived up to the hype. It was amazing. Just so good.
I walked by some Michelin stars.
Yes, because you need a reservation.
I went to a lot of pubs.
Now that's
food
my
pubs
kind
is good too.
Yeah.
So would you suggest this for a long weekend or is this something that, you know, you could spend a whole week in Edinburgh?
I would have to have a week.
Well, I think, yeah, you can. I mean, like Sandy said, you just were there for 3 days, right?
Yep. I didn't get to do any of this stuff outside of Edinburgh. So that's what I would like to do. If I stayed a week, I'd be going to like some of the like Loch Ness and, you know, things like that and doing extra stuff.
Getting out into the countryside.
Yeah.
And it is a great jumping off point for that. So it's kind of like Dublin in that sense. A lot of people just sort of, they land in Dublin and then they take off. And although that is something that you can do, I feel like the city itself deserves some time as well. And actually I find myself a lot of times, I'm going to sound really stupid when I say this, but I don't mean it this way, getting confused between Dublin and Scotland. Like they have very similar, Dublin and Edinburgh, they have very similar feel, like the friendliness of the people and the pubs and the history and the drama, the anger at the English, all that stuff is like all in there.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, oh wait, no, that's in Dublin. Oh yeah, that's in Edinburgh. Like there's a, the feel is just very similar in many ways.
Okay. So let's start with you, Elizabeth. So tell us, I mean, first of all, why were you there in January? It's not exactly the peak time to visit Europe. So,
yeah, no, it isn't. And I was there for a conference. So I probably wouldn't have gone had this conference not been taking place. But I was very happy to be able to go to the conference. And the conference was actually up at Glen Eagles, so closer to St. Andrews. So I was at Edinburgh on either side of that that stay. And I kind of did it as a, like, if I'm ever going to not like Edinburgh, it's going to be now. It's like really cold. And I came back still loving Edinburgh. And in fact, having it jump up to the top of my list. So I just feel like, and probably some of that is because I was there off season. And I am of a certain age now where I like to be in colder places, whereas I used to not be like that. I like having the colder temperatures. There was one day that I was walking around where I wanted to walk around more, and I eventually just gave up. I was like, no, I need to go back to the room and like thaw my face out. But
and have your hot toddy.
Yeah, exactly. So I was there then. I will say that this gave me the opportunity to go to Burns Night, which is something that I had always been curious about doing. And if you don't know what Burns Night is, Robert Burns is like the most popular poet in Scotland. I think I can say that unequivocally. And like kids in school have to memorize his poems. Like he's their Shakespeare, if you will. Like he is very important to their culture. He wrote a poem. He wrote many poems, but he wrote one called The Addressing of the Haggis. And Burns Night is basically, it's his birthday and it's celebrated all over Scotland with usually a dinner that includes haggis and usually includes bagpipes and the addressing of the haggis. Somebody recites the addressing of the haggis. And I mean, you can't get more Scottish than that. Like, yeah. I mean, what I just described, you just cannot get any more Scottish than that. So I've always wanted to experience it. And of course it's in the late January. So I kind of assumed I never would. And I got there that day and I did find a reservation for Burns Night. It's probably not at the most authentic. Like I would have loved to have gone to more of a pub, but they were all booked up. So, but I was able to get a good spot right near my hotel. And they had the bagpiper and the haggis and the addressing of the haggis and everything. It was fantastic. So.
That is such a librarian geek thing to do. Seriously.
So for those of us who have never had haggis, how did it taste?
So I've had haggis several times, and I think that really does depend on how it's prepared. It can be prepared lots of different ways. I like it when it is really dense, kind of like a pate, then it tastes like a pate, and I like pate. So like I'm one of those people that will eat a liverwurst sandwich voluntarily. Like I like that. But when it's, sometimes it can be kind of grainy, almost like a quinoa kind of texture. And I don't like it then. It's kind of, it feels like, yeah, it feels like it's dry. Okay.
What is it exactly?
No. Okay.
What is haggis?
Yeah. I didn't have it because that sounded gross. So I didn't.
I mean, have you ever heard the saying, you don't want to know how the sausage gets made?
Okay.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You can eat hot dogs as long as you don't know what's in them. That's sort of the thing with haggis. It's sheep intestines are the casing for the sausage. Mm-hmm. And then the rest is just awful. Not AWFUL, but OFFAL.
Is it awful? It's OFAL, right? It's not awful. It's OFAL.
No, it's awful.
It's awful. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can say it either way.
I feel like I'm going to start a mispronunciation jar.
I mean, it sounds awful to me.
I don't know. So, I'm going to say, to me, it sounds AWFUL, but I will we're going to take Elizabeth's word for it.
I only had it more than once. I had it once, and I had it in a private club where I was having whiskey that was like a super rare whiskey. So I don't remember what it tastes like at all. Because the whiskey was
the best. Candy, you're taking all my words out of my mouth. Yes.
We really should have done video for this episode because Sandy really does look like she's just going to run to the restroom in a minute and lose everything she ate today. But if you don't think about it, it's totally fine. And like when I had it on Burns Night, it was in chicken. So it was like a stuffing in chicken, like a chicken breast. It was very good. It just tasted like a really, like a mushroomy kind of taste. So yeah.
Okay.
I didn't very think good. You could find a way to make chicken sound unappealing. I'm sorry.
So now let's move on to Sandy. Sandy, okay. So tell us about your visit in March.
So mine was completely opposite of Elizabeth's. I was on a girls trip and we were trying to go a little bit less expensive. So we actually stayed out of the city in Leith, which is by the port. It's like a port city. And it's on the tram that goes into Edinburgh. So you can easily hop on the tram and get back into the city really easily. But we had some really, really good seafood dinners at those different port towns. And yeah, we stayed at the Purple Castle, the Premier Inn. So it's like very no frills, but yeah, it was perfectly fine. And then, yeah, so the tram, we're just a little bit further out. And we basically ate at some restaurants closer to us. But we did, two of us did a bike tour, believe it or not. And so our tour guide was showing us like all the cool places to go back to. So we relied heavily on his suggestions and went back to a few places for that too. So.
Very good. So yeah. why go, you know, in the winter time? Why would you want to go?
So I actually have been to Europe in March for like the last 5 years. I just keep, you know, like there's a conference I've been to a few times, or it just, for whatever reason, it just kind of ended up that way. So I was like, oh yeah, this is a great time to go. It's not that cold. I know it could be cold, but you know, it won't be. No, it was pretty freaking cold. once we got into Scotland, it was like bone chilling cold. So, but having said that, the crowds, I mean, I still found it to be kind of crowded, and I can't imagine that in the summer. And, you know, we didn't pre-book the castle, and the day we went to go to the castle, it was sold out. And this was like March 29th or something. They told us it was sold out till April 7th. So even in the off-peak times, you want to make your reservations for the castle.
Sounds like you need a better travel agent.
Yeah,
you know, I was flying by the seat of my pants on this trip. So I just can't even believe I did that bike tour.
I think it really depends on your luck with the castle, because I've been to the castle three times. It's always been during like the Fringe Festival, and have been able to get in. But it is definitely more people-y.
Yeah, and I think some of that is during the Fringe Festival, people are out seeing the shows and the stuff that's happening on the street, so they're not as likely to go to the castle then, or they're going to the castle that night for the tattoo.
Because I feel like being there in the busiest time that you can go to Edinburgh, I've never had an issue getting in to see any.
I feel like we saw like school groups, like maybe field trip type stuff. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, when I was on the bike tour, they took us outside of the city up to this hill that a lot of people were, like, walking up and running and stuff. And so he was showing us all these cool points of interest from the top of the hill. And I was like, okay, I see all this stuff, but what are those ruins over there? And he said, those ruins are our castle. And if you go there, people live there, so you might not want to call them ruins.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, but it did look much older than everything else around it. So, you know,
did you tell him it looked like Pittsburgh?
Oh. Well, I did actually say that there were a lot of things that looked like Pittsburgh, because
we were this close to getting two episodes in a row without Pittsburgh.
Nope. I
should have worked that in last time.
Yeah, no. So anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So, but that was still fun. It was. I don't think he was too offended. He just kept joking about it. But yeah.
So what other kinds of indoor activities can you do while you're in the off season?
Drinking.
Yay.
Eating and drinking. I think that actually, like, because Edinburgh is such a great food town now, which people don't think it is, and you can, by the way, stay there a week and never eat haggis. So don't let that, you know,
right.
But like Sandy was saying, the seafood, I mean, Edinburgh is right, at, you know, right there.
It's
and
all
so,
from there. It was so good.
Yeah,
so
good. Great fish and chip shops. And it's so cozy. Like the pubs actually have fireplaces in them. And I mean, like the whole place is designed. Actually, some of the hotel rooms had fireplaces in them. So I was staying at the Kempton Charlotte Square. And my room, I had a basic room for one person. But a friend of mine was in another room. And she had a fireplace in her room. She had an upgraded room. When I at Glen Eagles, I had a fireplace in my room. So it's cozy. It's cozy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it'd be a really good time to go visit the Closes too.
It can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did that. Yeah. We did a tour of the clothes, one of the closes, and we did a like an underground ghost tour, which was
so really what cool. Is a close for those of us that don't know what that is?
So the closes are like in between the streets. It's these, they're not really underground, but it's like kind of like apartments, I guess. I don't know. They're
alleyways.
They're alleyways, basically. Alleyways.
Yeah, but people lived in them, and they mm-hmm. like stacked up on top. So like the poorest people lived at the bottom, and I have my book here somewhere.
Yeah.
So they're like tenement housing.
I want to go back to what you said about the ghost tours. That is the most, one of the most underrated things to do in Edinburgh. I think as someone who's been on a lot of ghost tours, mm-hmm. it's my favorite one ever is in Edinburgh mm-hmm. because you're literally walking through history. Mm-hmm. And you could.
It feels like it really feels like you can see the history there. It just feels old, you know, like a lot of the things we did talked about things in like the 1600s, you know.
So would that be the old town or is that the new town?
There are closes. Most of the closes I think are the old town. That is not a subject I know a lot about. Newtown, but Newtown is not like 20th century. Newtown is like the Georgian houses. So yeah, the Victorian kind of. So new is all, you know, a matter of perspective. Yes.
Another great thing to do there, because the food is so good, is I've done several different food tours there, and I've never been disappointed in one of them. And that's a great way to get that bite of haggis without having to commit to a whole.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have any trouble getting into any restaurants, too. So I think that is another reason going the off-peak. I mean, I did make the reservations, but I did them that day, you know, and I was mm-hmm. able to get in.
Yeah, I didn't. I only had about maybe two weeks notice that I was going to go to Scotland. And then I wasn't supposed to be there for Burns Night, but because we had bad weather here, I had to leave here earlier. And so I got some bonus time in Edinburgh. So I made that reservation maybe 2 days before. It was hard to get, but I did find one. And then another thing is the National Museum of Scotland. It is a fantastic museum, and doesn't contain nearly as many stolen things as the British Museum does.
We didn't steal as much crap.
But it is absolutely something you could do all day long. So if you weren't expecting a bad weather day and you get one, then that's a great thing to just sort of decide.
And the museums are free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we popped into the it wasn't the portrait gallery. It was the museum with all the paintings. It had like the, you know,
the art museum.
National
with the art museum.
National Gallery.
Yes, that's what it was. National Gallery. Yeah.
So you've mentioned Edinburgh that you definitely want to, you know, make your reservations, and the National Museum. What other must-do things that we need to do while we're in Edinburgh?
Well, the ruins, or as we like to call it, the famous Edinburgh Castle. I think that's really important to do. And actually, as far as older buildings are concerned, it's not nearly as ruiny as some of the other
ruins. It just
ruins.
Looked like it from ruiny. Like a mile out of the city. You know, I was far away and it looked old.
Also one of the most photographed landmarks in the world. So I'm not exactly sure how you didn't recognize it, but okay.
I didn't really do a lot of research before I went.
Somebody's spent a lot of time in the pubs. Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, and I'm going to be so disappointed if you guys didn't do it. Did you do the Malt Disney, the malt whiskey? It's like Walt Disney, but it's whiskey.
No.
It's an experience in you actually ride a ride through the history of whiskey, and it's so cool. It goes through all of the different types of whiskey in Scotland and the regions, and you do the tasting, and you can do different. It's one of the coolest things.
I've sent people to that many times. It's basically the museum of whiskey for Edinburgh. But I actually was trying to not do very whiskey focused things on this trip because I've done that on previous trips. So I've also, oh no, that's in Dublin. See, I almost did it again.
They're actually very different in the whiskeys. Very they different.
Are, but, they are, but I guess to me, some of the feel is the same. Yeah, I mean, certainly everybody in Dublin and in Edinburgh right now is like, what is she talking about? But I don't know. There's just some, there's some feeling about it that is the same. You can also see the royal yacht, the Britannia. It is now out of service. So if you watch The Crown, then you are familiar with it. Or if you know anything about royal history, it's actually in Edinburgh, actually closer to Leith, but because it is on the water.
We saw it. So yeah.
That, I could have easily spent all day there as well. That was actually one of those times where my destination management company sort of misled me when I was planning a trip there and said, oh, you just need an hour there. And she greatly underestimated my love of the British royal family. Like I was there for 3 hours and I could have been there for 8. So it's fascinating. And then the Holyrood area where Mary, Queen of Scots, lived for a while, all of that is there as well, and connected to the castle by the Royal Mile, which is also full of tons of history. There, the Grassmarket area has, I believe it's England or the United Kingdom's smallest pub, and it's actually called the Wee Pub, I think is what it's called. So right there in the Grassmarket. So yeah, it's really, there's tons of stuff to do. I also made a purse.
I was just going to ask you if you made a purse.
I saw you did that. That's so cool.
Islander UK. This is actually the wallet, the matching wallet. Not that our audience can see it, but it's like they give you the parts. So the main leather part is already stitched and you're basically just screwing in the handles, putting all that stuff on. And that was totally fun. And it's only like an hour. And it's actually not very expensive. So it was like 100 euro for a backpack.
And that's something, that's a souvenir you take with you. That's
And this is Harris Tweed. The pattern on it is Harris Tweed. So this is like the real Isle of Skye tweed. Good stuff. Very water resistant. What else, Sandy? What else did you do?
We shopped a bunch too. So I did get myself a nice made in Scotland cashmere scarf. It's like super cozy and nice. I probably wouldn't have bought that in the summer. So
yes, that is true.
Yeah. So that was good. Let me think. So our bike tour also took us out into the coast. So we went through Leith and we went through a little beach town called Porto. And that was really cute too, because they had a huge boardwalk and all these little shops and restaurants along the boardwalk and stuff. So very dog friendly area too. So lots of people walking their dogs and the dogs are kind of free range. You know, they're not necessarily on leashes and stuff. But it was really cool.
So I'm really curious, because you did a bike tour. So, I mean, there was obviously probably some snow on the ground when you went in January, but was there any in March?
No, it wasn't.
There wasn't any snow. It actually rained for the 2 weeks leading up to my trip, and then it stopped when I got there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I should say, too, it was a motorized bike. It was not, you had to pedal and it assisted you, so it wasn't like me. You know, they always say if you don't bike at home, don't go to Europe and do a bike tour, and that's exactly what I did, because I think it's probably been 20 years since I've been on a bike. But after like a couple minutes of riding around in the park, I felt like I had the hang of it, and I only ran into things twice. So
And you didn't have to use your insurance.
Yeah, exactly, you know, I had it, so yeah, that was all good.
So just to kind of wrap things up, you've got quite a few things on here, Elizabeth. If you're building a Edinburgh or a Scotland itinerary, what are some of the things that you should really, you know, you definitely want to spend, you know, quite a few days in Edinburgh to do some of these activities, but what other towns can you go to?
And you could go almost anywhere from Edinburgh, anywhere in Scotland. Isle of Skye is a stretch. The Shetland Islands are a stretch. I mean, that would be a very long,
actually done that. I've gone to Scotland.
From Edinburgh to the Shetland Islands?
Yes. Edinburgh. No, I went to Skye.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Edinburgh. Yes. You can do it. And it is something you do quite often. There's a whole route. There's so many day tours, so many opportunities to get
out. How long did that take, Lindsay? I mean, how much time were you there?
I went, two nights, So I went out for two nights from Edinburgh and came back. And it worked out really great the one year that I did it, because I left, I actually was able to leave bags at my hotel because I was coming back to that hotel, which is something I do all the time because I overpack or I overbuy. I don't overpack, I overbuy. And I had, that was a very long trip, so I had like way too much stuff with me, and went out for two nights or three. No, sorry, I lied, three nights. But there are two, three, four night, you can do multiple. And I just kind of used it as transportation and then came back a different way.
So we almost like a hub and spoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes it really easy. And you can also come into Edinburgh and then leave out of Glasgow.
We were driving from the Lake District. So we stopped at Gretna Green on the way, which, you know, my romance reading heart was like so happy. I was like, you guys, this is where the scoundrel would like kidnap our heroine and take her here, and then there's this mad dash.
What were you reading? Because I was reading like they ran away because they were in love and got
Well, that's all the stuff. If you look at, like, we were in one of the museums for the what do they call the guys that hit the anvil and make the metal. Why can't I think of this?
Did you go to the literary museum there, Elizabeth?
Blacksmith, really, I think, is your word, Sandy. What did you ask me, Lindsay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my scroll brain. I had to ask a librarian question because the literary museum there is really good, too.
You mean the Writers Museum in Edinburgh? Museum. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's I saw that. I saw that there. Yeah.
You could have learned all about Robert Burns.
That is free, too. Yep.
What is the dog's name? Bobby?
Yeah, Greyfriars Bobby. Yeah,
Greyfriars Bobby.
Yeah,
the dog with the shiny nose. Yeah, because everybody touches it.
Yes, because everybody touches
the
it.
The dog with COVID. And
also on the way home, we were driving on the east coast of the UK, and when you're leaving Edinburgh and going back down towards like Leeds, they call that the Gulf Coast, G-O-L-F Coast. And there's like all the golf courses. Like
so St. Andrews region. And all that good stuff.
I don't know if that's where St. Andrews is. Well, we ended up stopping in one of the little towns and eating at a thing. But you know where St. Andrews is.
St. Andrews is north.
Is north, yeah.
Okay. So the one golf course that everybody like spurned golf is not on the Gulf.
Well, I don't know how far they consider the Gulf Coast going up there, but, you know, because it does run all the way up, I think. But and then there's also Rosslyn Chapel is very close to Edinburgh. That's where the final scene in the Da Vinci Code takes place in the movie. And then the Stirling Castle is very close to there. And I actually thought it's where they filmed the French Taunter in the Monty Python's Holy Grail, but I think I'm wrong about that. It's a different castle.
Yeah, it's not that one. It's not Stirling.
But it looks very much like it.
But Stirling has a very strong history for the independence movement. So.
Right, Robert the Bruce. There's a big statue there. So, yeah. So there's so much to do. And you can get up to, like, Loch Lomond pretty easily in a day. Loch Ness is a little bit more of a stretch. You could go up to Inverness as well. But once you go up that way, you might want to just stay up there. And by the way, last time I went to Scotland, we did fly out of Inverness. You have to connect again, but instead of coming all the way back down to Edinburgh to fly out, we actually left from Inverness. You can do that. So it just gives you another connection.
Did you go to know. The Kelpies?
I've driven by the Kelpies so many times. So the Kelpies are actually on the way, up to Glen Eagle. So,
but did you know you can go inside and climb?
Yeah, I do know that. I've never stopped at them. Yeah, I've never stopped at them. Have you done that?
No, but I've been by it so many times and never knew that was in there. And then I was actually talking to a client and I'm like, wait, you can do.
Yeah, and there's really some, like Scotland has a few architectural marvels. So the Kelpies are statues. They're huge horse head statues coming out of the water, quote water. So that's a marvel in and of itself. They're just so impressive. But then there's also a bridge I can't remember the history of it. It's like one of the deepest bridges or something like that. But and then there's a one of the water crossings. They have a turnstile water, so the boat goes, instead of a lock, the boat goes onto this like wheel, and then it takes you up like an elevator.
Ferris
almost.
Wheel?
Yeah, like a Ferris wheel. Yeah, exactly. So
nice. Very good. So if you're going to Scotland and you want to go to Edinburgh, who is the perfect person to do this?
Oh, well, I think it was great for a girls' trip. We had such a fun time.
Yeah, whiskey lovers, history lovers, food lovers, librarians.
Just lovers.
Yeah, people who love to read, Harry Potter lovers.
Outdoor people, because there was so much outdoor stuff to do. They actually have, so this is another fun fact that our guy told us. There was, there's seven hills. It's built on seven hills, and they do a race where you have to go to the top of all seven hills. And
no,
you
can do it in. No.
You can do it in any order you want, and you just get like them to give you a pin or notch your bib or something whenever you get to them, and you have like a certain time limit, and you get a coaster. Another thing they told us about, did you guys hear about the book made out of the dead guy's skin?
So they
told us about the body snatcher people, mm-hmm. and like one guy turned the other one in, and they like mm-hmm. as part of like after he was like, you know, sentenced to death, they made a book out of his skin as a reminder, and it's in this museum that's like, it's like a medical museum.
It's like a medical oddity museum, though.
Mm-hmm. There's like Roxanne, she's like, I saw a brain with this, and I saw that, and I was like, whoa, I kind of wish I would. That's the day we were trying to go to the castle, and she went to that instead. But
there's so many great museums. It really is. I mean, if you are, and I travel solo a lot, and I've every trip in Scotland or in Edinburgh, actually Scotland in general, that I've done has been solo, and you really can find so much to do. And there's so many gin tastings. Oh, we talked about whiskey. I have to plug the gin place. Still to this day, some of the best gin I've ever had in my whole life is Edinburgh Gin Distillery. They have a phenomenal gin tasting class that you go down in the cave and you learn about the history of gin, and because they have to make gins for so many years before they can make whiskey. So
they're very good.
And they are very, the Scotland in general is very much farm to table. Like a lot of menus will be farm to table. Even just a pub will tell you who caught the fish sometimes. So,
So all of us would love to plan a Scotland itinerary for you. So if you're interested in going, just definitely give your favorite Outlander travel agent a call, and we would love to plan something. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.